Shalom to all. Today's Avos Chulin Daf Zayin. We are starting about the second line with the word Mikan, and today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirmsar Bas Biaka Moshe Hernish Amal should have an Aliyah. Now we're in the middle of our third Maisa, showing how Hashem won't bring about a mishap to a tzaddik, causing him to do something aser, specifically talking about eating aser food. Now what was the story? So Rabbi Yishuv and Ziruz give Eidos that Rav Meir ate a leaf of a vegetable from Beis Shan and didn't take off Maiser. Rebbe derived from there that Beis Shan must not be part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore vegetables aren't chayv and Maiser. Now even though this is a huge chiddush, because up until then everyone did treat it as Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, it was accepted. Now, before we continue the story and get to the point of where we see that Hashem's not going to cause a mishap to a tzaddik, the Gemara comments as follows. We come from here, we learn the Talmud Chacham Shamar Dvar Halacha, that if a Talmud Chacham says Dvar Halacha, even though it's a huge chiddush, you never heard it before, she'ein mazichan oisai, that we're not maziach him, which means we don't separate him, we don't make him take back that halacha. V'amrila, and some say that ein maznichan oisai, that that's a proper lashon, that we do not push him away, and v'amrila, some say that ein mazchichan oisai, that we don't tell him he's a bal gaiva and didn't listen to his Rebbe well enough, and he just made this up on his own. The one who used this lashon, where does this come from? Because Pasuk says, "V'lo yizach chayshen." The chayshen is not allowed to be separated from the ephod. That's where the lashon of maziach comes from. And umanda amar in maznichen, according to this manda amar, the pasuk says, "Ki lo yiznach la'olam Hashem." That's lashon of pushing away. And umanda amar mazchichen, where does this come from? The tenan, it's really the tanya of a brayso. Misharabu zechuche halev. When there was an increase of zechuche halev, these are the talmidim that were haughty. They're bali gaiva, thinking they were chashev and they didn't have to listen to the rebbeim. Rav machlokes b'Yisrael, that increased a lot of machlokes in Klal Yisrael because they made up their own svaras without listening to their teachers. Now getting back to the story, Mikel Amanda Amar, the Beis Shan, Olav Meretz Yisrael, he, is there really anybody that holds that the Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? Look, say what the Pasuk says, Loi Harsh Menashe's Beis Shan Vez B'nai Seha, Vez Tanach Vez B'nai Seha, the Menashe, meaning Shevet Menashe, when they were taking over their portion of Eretz Yisrael, they did not drive out the inhabitants of Beis Shan in all the surrounding areas, and Tanach and its surrounding areas, and so we clearly see the Beis Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael, is part of the Chelik of Menashe. And the answer is Shemitze, he forgot the following, Had the Amr Shimon al Yakim, Mishumar Blaz Ben Pedas, Shamar Mishumar Blaz Ben Shemua, that Harbe Krachim Kivshim Oil Mitzrayim, there are many cities and villages that those that came up from Mitzrayim conquered, Veloy Kivshim Oil Bavel, and those who came from Bavel did not conquer. In other words, when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael for the first time with Yeshua, that's called Oil Mitzrayim, they conquered and took over a lot more area than the people of Bavel did when they came back to begin rebuilding the second base of Mikdash, and also the Kasavari holds, meaning those people at that time when they came from Bavel held the Kedusha Rishonah Kitchel Shaita Veloy Kitchel Asad Lavai, that the first Kedusha, the first holiness that was granted to Eretz Yisrael at the time when Yeshua came with the Yidden for the first time, that was a Kedusha only for that point in time, but not forever. It didn't have that Kedusha forever. It actually lost that Kedusha when they got sent into Golus by the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and it had to be re-sanctified, v'nichum, and those Eilei Bavel that came up the second time, they left some cities and were not re-mekadosh them. Why did they do that? Kedesh yismuch alei manim b'shvias, so that poor people could rely on these areas during Shemitah, they'd be able to plant here and cultivate the ground so they can have food during Shemitah. And so you're right, even though Beis Shan was technically part of Eretz Yisrael in the Chelik of Menashe when the Yidden first came up to Eretz Yisrael, but already the second time they came, they did not include Beis Shan as part of it, and therefore actually did not have Kedusha. We continue discussing this. Rameir, he just ate one leaf. That can you learn from what Rameir did. They don't have to take a Meisr from produce that comes from Beis Shan. Anyway, he only ate one leaf, and we know that you're allowed to eat produce without taking Meisr off of it if it's done in an Arai fashion, which is just snacking, you're not being Kaveya Suda, you're not sitting down eating a whole meal, and he just ate one leaf. So of course it doesn't have to have Meisr taken off of it. Amar Leiser responded, no, me'aguda achle. He ate it from a bundle. And Utanan, we have a Mishnah, Yarek HaNegad, Misha Yegad. The vegetables which are usually bundled, once they're bundled, then they have a chiv in Meisr, even if you're just going to eat a little bit in a snacking fashion, because once they're bundled, that's considered Gemar Malacha, it's considered like the processing is finished, so you're not allowed to eat from it Arai without taking off Meisr. He was asking, V'dom Alav Adaite, maybe Rav Meir simply wasn't paying attention. Maybe he forgot to take off Meisr. So you can't learn from what Rav Meir did. They don't have to take a Meisr from produce that comes from Beis Shan. Maybe he just simply forgot to take off Meisr. And here's where we finally come to the point of this whole story. Hashta behemten shal tzadikin inakosh baruch hu mevitakal yadon tzadikim atzma lekol shekain. That's something that we know, that the animals of tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bring a tekala through them, so the tzadik himself, Hashem's not going to bring a tekala to him, and so we can't say that Rav Meir forgot to take off Meisr. We ask another question though, v'dilma isra aleim makam acher. Maybe Rav Meir had already taken off Meisr for this from a different place. That's always an option with Meisr. If you have produce here and there, you could take a Meisr from there for here, and that's perfectly fine. So the answer is no. Chaverim, which over here just means the chamim, they're not suspected of taking off truma shloim in a mukef, meaning if the produce is not all here in front of them, they're not going to take off truma and meisr from somewhere else. So that's not a chashash either. Another question is, maybe he really did take off meisr. The way he did that was place his eyes on one side and eat from the other side, which is always a possibility. In other words, he could have in mind that this part of the thing that I'm eating is meisr, and then only eat the other part. So maybe he really was considered standard meiser. Amar leis, we respond to him. Finally, chaziman gavur rabba kamaser alei. Why don't you see who the great man is that gave edus about this? Rabbi Shubin Zeirus gave edus about this, and he's a great person. And if he says that this leaf of the vegetable was eaten by Rav Meir without meiser, that's exactly what happened. It was eaten without meiser being taken off, and therefore it's something that we could trust. So here's a third story that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring a takala ayidei tzadikim. So now the Gemara asks, my behemtin shel tzadikim. What's a story of behemtin shel tzadikim that Hashem doesn't bring a takala even to the animal of a tzadik? Where does this come from? So we have a very long story. Rapichas ben Yair havaka azal pidyon shvuim. Rapichas ben Yair, he was on his way to go redeem captives, and paga be beginai nara. He encountered the Ginai River, and normally he told it Ginai. He's addressing the river. Chalik limemecha, split your waters for me, v'avar becha, and I'll be able to pass through you. There must have not been a bridge or a ferry. So normally the river told him, you're going to do the will of your master, and I'm going to do the will of my master. However, ata safek isa, safek yata isa. You are in doubt. Maybe you'll be successful, maybe you won't be. But ani vade isa, I'm for sure being successful by me flowing. I am doing the will of Hashem. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Chizmir told him, im yata chalek, if you don't split for me, gezrani alecha shlo yavru b'cha mayim lo'ilam, I'm going to decree on you that water's never going to flow through you again. So chalek Lei, he split for Rabbi Chizmir. However, havahu gavru, there was a fellow with him, dava dari chiti lepescha, he was carrying wheat for matzahs for Pesach. Amar Lei, Rabbi Chizmir told the river, chalek Lei nami lahai, you have to split for him as well, the mitzvah asik, because he's involved in a mitzvah. So chalek Lei, the river split for this yet as well. And then havahu taya delav badayu, there was an Arab merchant who's along with them. Amar Lei, Rabbi Chizmir told the river, chalek Lei nami lahai, you should also split for him, deloy lemos, that he doesn't say, kach isom lenei levaya, this is what they do for people who accompany them, they leave him abandoned on the other side of a river. So chalek Lei, the river split for this Arab merchant as well. The Amar of Yosef, Yosef comments, kama nafesh gavri Moshe v'shitin rivon, how much greater is this man, referring to Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair, than Moshe and 600,000 people, the ilu hasam over there by the Yamsuf chad zimna, the Yamsuf just split one time for Moshe and all of Am Yisrael, but v'hacha tlas zimnin, over here it split three times, as the Gemara know, v'dilma hachnami, maybe over here also chad zimna, it was really just one time. It could be that Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair told the river that he has to stay split open for not only him, or Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair, but for the other two people as well, but that it really only split once. So the Gemara says, you're right, so you have to tweak what was said. Ella, rather, what's the expression of how great Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair was? Kim Moshe v'shitin Rivon, that he's like Moshe and the 600,000 Yidden, showing how great he is. We continue the story. Iklahu Ushpiza. Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair went to Ushpiza, which is like a guest house, an inn of sorts, and Romalei Sar Lechamre, they put barley in front of his donkey, Loi Achal, but the donkey didn't eat it, so they thought that maybe the donkey didn't like it. So Zaino and Bez on top, Chavtenu, they sifted it. However, Loi Achal still didn't eat it. So Nikrinhu, they took out all the little pebbles and stones that might have been inside, and they did this by hand. That's what Nikrinhu means. And still, Loi Achal, he didn't eat it. So Amaluhu, Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair told them, Dilma Loi Ma'asron, maybe Meiser wasn't taken off of the barley. So as soon as they took Maaser off, V'achal, the donkey ate it. And Amar, Rabbi Chizmir explained, Ani Azu Halechas Azuzayin Kaina, this poor one, referring to his donkey, she just wants to do the will of her master. V'atem Achilin Oysa Tevalim, and you're giving her Tevel, that's why she didn't eat it. And so here right away we see that a Takala didn't come about even to the behemoth of the tzaddik because the donkey didn't end up eating grain that wasn't Maaser. Tzaddik Mar asked on this, M'chaiva, was this barley, which is food for animals, Chayv and Maaser? But then we have Mishnah. Halakech Lezer L'behemah, if a person buys seed or grain and he just really means to plant it, or he's going to give it to his animal, or if a chemical iris, he buys flour, but just to tan his hides, or if a shemen, liner, he buys oil for his lamp, or if a shemen, lasakwes a kalim, he buys oil to grease and oil his kalim. So patamar admai, it's patar from demai. And then just at hasam ha'itmar lo, over there was already stated on that, Amar Biachan, he tells us, loishanu elishalakhan mitchil behema. That's only if originally it was purchased to be used as animal food. Avalakhan mitchil adam, nimachalim behema, chayiv laser. If originally it was purchased for people to eat, and then the person decided, you know what, I'm not going to eat it, I'm just going to give it to the animals, then it is chayiv in my. And that's what happened with the donkey, Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair. And Hadam knows, Vatani, because we have a brisa, Lekech Peres ben Ashok Lachila, a person buys produce from the marketplace to eat them, Venimachalim Lebhema, and he changes his mind, decides to give him to his animal, Hariz a loyitin loyfne behemtiv loyfne behem's chaveroi, he's not put in front of his animal or his friend's animal, Elam Ken Iser, unless he takes off my surge. That was the story of the donkey, Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair. Now we just continue with what happened when Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair was in this area. Shama Rabbi, Rabbi heard that Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair was there, and Nafak La'ape, he went to greet him, and to Armale, he told him, do you want to come and eat by me? Can I invite the great Rav to my house? So Amalai, he told him, hey, yes, I'd be happy to come over. And Savu Panav Shal Rebbe, Rebbe's face started shining, he was so excited. And that's because Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair was well known that he never ate anywhere, he never ate at anybody's house. And now that he accepted Rabbi's invitation, Rebbe was so excited about that. So Amalai, Rabbi Chizmir ben Yair explained to him, Kimiduma atah shemudar hanah miyisrael ani. You might think to yourself that I made a neder hanah, I'm not going to benefit from any yid, and that's why I don't eat at anybody's house. Chas v'shalom, that's not true. Yisrael kadoshim hain, yidin are kadosh, and that's the reason why you should go to their homes. It's just that yesh reitzav ein loy, sometimes there's a person who really wants to invite somebody over his house, but he simply doesn't have the funds, he doesn't have the means to host him. Also, there's other people who really have, but they don't really want the person to come over their house. And Ksav Pasuk says, Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin, don't eat the bread of a person who's ra'ayin, they're stingy, and v'al tisov l'tamaysov, don't desire his tasty things, kikmai shar benafshe kenhu, because one whose nefesh is very bitter, so is he, echol shse yomer loch, he tells you to eat and drink, v'libe bal imach, but his heart is not with you. And that's why usually when people invite me over, I say no, because they fit into one of the two categories. They either can't afford it, or they don't really want me over. But v'ata, you, Rebbe, Reitze, you want me to come over, v'yashloch, and you could afford it, so I'm more than happy to come over. Miau hever, hashtim sarvino, I have to decline it right now. Why is that? Because the milsim mitzvah katarachna, I'm in the middle of a mitzvah. We know from the beginning of the story that he was on his way for Pidyon Shvuyim, and therefore I can't come over right now. However, ki adarno, when I come back, asino, I learn l'gabach, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come to your house. Now, ki asa, when Rebbe Chisbon Yair came back from his mission, esrami albahu pischa, it ended up being that he went through the entrance, davu kaimen bay kud naisa chivarta, that there was white mules over there, and we know the white mules are very dangerous. As Omar Rebbe Chisbon Yair commented, malchamavis beis shazevani esar etzlai, the malchamavis is in this person's house, and I'm going to eat by him? I can't come to Rebbe's house. He turned around and started leaving. So Shama Rebbe heard this, nafak la'ape. He went out to him to try to convince him to come back. Amr Lay, he said to Rebbe Chisbon Yair, mezavdin alhu, you know what? I'll sell these white donkeys. I won't have them. Amr Lay, Rebbe Chisbon Yair told him, you can't do that. You can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person where you're passing on your danger to somebody else. That's not okay. So he says, fine, mafkarn alhu. I'm going to be mafkar them. I'll just declare them ownerless and let them roam around. Rebbe Chisbon Yair said, that can't be because mafshas zeka. That's going to create even more hazik. Now that no one's watching them, they're going to be free to cause damage. It's going to be even worse. So he told him, fine, akarn alhu. I'm going to cut their hooves, which is still going to enable them to walk around and eat and do what they need to, but they won't be able to damage anything. So he responded, you can't do that. It's sar balechaim. There's sar balechaim to do that. So he told him, katil alhu. You know what? I'll kill them. So once again, he responded, ikabatashkels, batashkels. You can just kill an animal. And have a kamavatish beituva. Rebbe was really pushing him and begging him and pleading him, come over. And what happened? Gavatur beinayhu, a huge mountain came in between them, and that separated them. So Rebbe Chisbon Yair was saved. And Bachar Rebbe va'amar, Rebbe cried and said, mavachayehen kach. If in their lifetime they're like this, b'misasan achas kama v'kama, how much more so even after they die, that's going to be even so much greater. And what Rebbe meant by this is that clearly Rebbe Chisbon Yair had taken upon himself not to eat by somebody's house, so Hashem was mesavev it in a way that even by Rebbe's house, which Rebbe Chisbon Yair himself had said it's okay to eat by, somehow the situation happened that he didn't end up being there, and this shmirah and this listening to tzaddik is even greater after he passes away. Now, where do we get this from? Dar Rechon Rechanini says, G'dam tzaddikim sasim yosim mechayim. Tzaddikim are greater after they pass away, even more than in their life. And how do we know this? It's a story with Elisha Navi. Shem of the Pasuk says, Vayihim kavrim ish, they were burying a person, Vihine Ros Agdod, they saw a troop of soldiers coming, and they got very scared, so they shlichos the ish bekever Elisha, they threw this person who had died in the kever of Elisha Navi, which happened to be nearby, Vayelech, and the corpse rolled, Vayiga ish ba'atzim Elisha, and it touched the bones of Elisha, Vayichi, and the person came back to life, Vayakam al Raglav, and he stood up on his feet. And this shows that a tzaddik is greater b'misasai yosrim b'chayav, because we know that when Elisha Navi was alive, he did chiyas ha-meisim, but it was very complicated, it was a whole situation, it was a whole story. Whereas over here, the dead person simply touched Elisha's body and already came back to life, which is, so to speak, much more simple. And so we see that a tzaddik is much greater after he dies than when he was alive. However, we're going to ask on this, Omer Papa Labaye, V'dilma l'kuyum b'brichas on Eliyo. Maybe the only reason why this happened with Elisha is b'mekayim the brach of Eliyo Navi, so the pasuk says, v'hiyina pishnayim ruchai lai, let double of your ruach, your spirit, be on me. This is what Elisha told Eliyo Navi, who's his rebbe, before his astalkus, before he went up to Shemaim. So Elisha asked Eliyo, please let me be double than you. And since Eliyo was mechayim meisim once in his life, so Elisha has to be mechayim meisim twice, and we see that he only did it once, so it has to be that there was another case of tchiyas meisim. It was really just the kiyum of Eliyo's bracha. So Amar Lehi, he told him, yach, if that's really so, how do we understand the following brisa? Al ragav amad, this person stood on his feet, but he didn't go back home. He died shortly after he left the area where Elisha's body was. And if the whole reason why this person came back to life in the first place was just the kiyum of Eliyo's bracha, so why did he die right afterwards? When Eliyo was machaya person, so he went on to live a regular life, should be the same thing with this person who had tchiyas meisim after touching Elisha's body. It must be this is a raya that tzaddikim are greater after death than in their life. As more fine, Elomai Kayim. So now how was Eliyo's bracha mukoyim? If you want to say that it's not through this, then how was it? And the answer is Kon Rav Yechon, like Rav Yechon said, she reaped tzaras Naaman, that Elisha healed Naaman's tzaras, she shkul kemes. When a person has tzaras, it's like they're dead. Shem the Pasuk says, Al nati kemes. There's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Hashem about Miriam when she had tzaras, and he says, don't let her be like a mace, and therefore Naaman had tzaras, he was like a mace, and Elisha healing him is like doing tchias amesim. Now going back to these white mules that Rebbe had, which caused Rebbe Chisbon Yair not to come to his house, Amr Shmuel Levi tells us, Lomana Kashman Yemim. Why are they called Yemim? We learn about these embracious, and that's what they're called, so why do they have that name? The answer is, She'emasin mutal salabriyas, Yemim is a lashon of Ema, their fear is on the Briyas, because their fear is on the Briyas, on people. Amr Ruchinian says, Miyam in all my days, Loshalani Adam Amakas Pir the Levana V'chaya. No one ever asked me about a strike or blow received from a white mule and survived. So so clearly very dangerous and they instill fear in people. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? We see that people do live even after they received a blow from a white mule. And the answer is that Emo, really, we should say that he said v'chayas and it was healed, not v'chaya and the person lived, but v'chayas, the wound was healed. Ask the Gemara, v'chasin demitzi. We do see that a wound like that is healed. So what does that mean? And the answer is the chivon rish karayu kamrinon. We're talking about if the tip of the foot is white and that white mule kicks a person, then the wound is never going to fully heal. Now, once we mention Reb Chanina, we have another member from him. The pasuk says ein oid milvadoi. There's no one besides him. Obviously, referring to Hashem. Ein oid milvadoi. Great songs. Wonderful phrase. And Reb Chanina explains vafilu kshafim. That's even kshafim, which is sorcery, meaning even kshafim doesn't have the ability to affect somebody unless Hashem wanted it. We have a story. It said there was a woman that was called Mahajal lemishkal afro mitusik kard Reb Chanina. She was trying to take dirt or dust from under the feet of Reb Chanina, and through sorcery, she was going to try to kill him. And Amrloi told her, shkaili, no problem, take it. Lo mistai milsech. It's not going to work at all. Ein oid milvadoi ksev. The pasuk says ein oid milvadoi, and only Hashem is able to will it. Your kshafim can't do anything. As the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan says, lo manukishman kshafim. Why are they called kshafim in the first place? Shemachishin pamal yishamayla, because they, so to speak, contradict up in Shemayim. The word kshafim is a combination of these words, machishin pamal yishamayla. So it's mashma that kshafim actually does have the ability to, so to speak, go against Hashem's will. And the answer is you're right. However, Shani Rabbi Chanina is different. Din fishes chusay. He had a lot of schosim, and therefore kshafim has no effect on him unless, of course, Hashem wills it. Another member of Rabbi Chanina says, a person doesn't hurt his finger down here unless up in Shemayim they say that's what's supposed to happen. And how do we know? Because the pasuk says, "May Hashem mitzadu gever kainanu." From Hashem, a person's steps are established, they're set. And ba'adam mayavin darkai, what does a person understand about his path? And similarly, Amar Lozer says, "Dam nikaf meratzak dam oila." The blood that comes from stubbing a toe, we're going to see in a moment, it's referring to a toe, that brings about a ritzui, like a kapara, like the blood of a carbon oila. And Amar Rava, he further clarifies, "Begudal yamin ubenikaf sheni." That's talking about the right toe and the second time he bumped it before the first time got healed. Why dafka the right toe? Well, that's because a person walks with the right foot first. That's where he has the most kayach, the first step. And if he smashes that toe and stubs it, it's much more painful than the back foot. And also has to be the second time he smashed it before the first one healed. So that's super painful. Furthermore, who the kozel dvar mitzvah? That's only if he's on his way to do a mitzvah. Then he has a kapara, like he brought a carbon oila. And finally, going back to Pinchas ben Yair, Amar Olav Pinchas ben Yair, they said about him, miyamav loy batzal prusa shena shaloi. In all of his days, he never was by tzeya, which literally means to break bread. In other words, he never had bread that wasn't his. And umiyam sha'amad al daitai, this basically means from the day he became bar mitzvah, loy nenim sudas aviv, he didn't even benefit from his father's suda, he was always self-sufficient. As we see, this is a practice that he had already from way back then. It wasn't anything brand new. Reb Pinchas ben Yair was very makbe not to eat by anybody, as we had seen above in the Gemara. We're going to stop it for the day and pick tomorrow, going back discussing shechita. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.